The date is now September the 21st, 520 BC, exactly 23 days after Haggai had given his sermon. And there have been a lot of changes during that time. They were gathering the materials that they needed to rebuild the temple. They were organizing the workforce, laying out the plans again, and making sure that everything was in order. I have no doubt that it was a very busy and very exciting time. They're getting ready to do what God wanted them to do. But I also have no doubt that it was a very tense, a very stressful time for a number of reasons. Because first of all, it's not like the opposition of the people of the land had somehow simply gone away. As Ezra and Nehemiah tell us, they continue to fight against Israel every step of the way. And it would only be once the city walls were finished, several years later, that this opposition would finally die down. So once the word got out that they were starting work on the temple again, I have no doubt that the people of the land went back to their old tricks. They were bribing someone here, threatening someone there, anything that they could do to hinder the work, anything they could do to make sure that it did not get done. So that stress was always there. But second, I'm sure they were also stressed over the sheer amount of the work that had to be done. Because remember, this was not an age of power tools and heavy equipment. Everything had to be done by hand. Every stone had to be cut into exactly the right shape. Every beam had to be sawn to exactly the right size. Every curtain had to be sewn and embroidered by hand. All of it was slow, back-breaking work. We're told in 1 Kings that the first temple, the one that this was replacing, took 7 years to build. And I have no doubt that rebuilding it would probably take just as long. And we know how daunting a project can be when we know that it's going to take months or even several days. So we can imagine how they must have felt knowing that this project was going to take literal years. That was one more stress on top of everything else. But on top of everything was the knowledge that they were rebuilding the temple. This was the second temple, after all. Every block that they put into place reminded them of the one that had been there before. Every beam that they hammered in reminded them of how beautiful the first temple had been. And every curtain that they sewed together was a stark reminder of their sins. The sins that had led to the destruction of the first temple. The sins that had taken them away into exile. And I can only imagine that as they were working and preparing to work, that everything that they were doing led them to wonder if things had been different, if they hadn't fallen into those sins, would they even be here right now? They wouldn't have to do this work all over again. The very work itself was a reminder of their failure and of the wrath of God. But in the midst of all of this uncertainty, in the midst of this discouragement, Haggai stands up before the people. And we hear in verse 13 of our reading, "Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord." There was no reason for them to be uncertain. There was no reason for them to be discouraged. I am am with you, declares the Lord. Though the people of the land still fought against them, I am with you, declares the Lord. Though the work would be long and hard, I am with you, declares the Lord. And though their sins had brought them into this mess, I am with you, declares the Lord. They could work confidently and diligently, knowing that God would be with them through it all. And everything that they would do for God would not be in vain. How often do we face the same kind of discouragement, Christians? We hear God's call. We know what He wants us to do. We see the work of the kingdom before us. And yet, faced with the greatness of the task, faced with the greatness of what God has called us to do, it is so easy to lose enthusiasm. I mean, the opposition of the world is always there. The world tries to tell us that there is no point. What you are doing is going to come to nothing. And times are different now, so you might as well just quit. And besides, what you are saying, well, that's just offensive. It's outdated. It's hate speech. It's bigotry. It's hypocrisy. So just give it up, the world says. Just go along with the world and forget all about what God tells you to do. That is always there. But even if we ignore what the world says, we are still faced with the immensity of the task. God has called us to do great things. He has said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But there's so many, God. There are so many. How could I possibly make any difference? Where do I even begin? It's tough enough speaking to people I know about Jesus. How am I supposed to talk to anybody else? Besides, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I just mess it up? It's tough to talk to people. It's tough to open yourself up like that. It's tough to make yourself vulnerable. So what am I supposed to do? Yet even behind all of that is still that nagging little voice. Why me? Who am I to do such things? I have failed God so many times in the past, and I can't forgive the things that I have done. I'm not worthy to say anything. I'm not worthy to do anything at all. And I don't have the skill, I don't have the knowledge, I certainly don't have the credibility. I feel so inadequate. I feel so unequal to the task. And I'm sure that I'm only going to fail. So why should I be the one to do it? Why can't God send someone else? But consider what Jesus says, Christians. Consider the work that He has called His church to do. Jesus says, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. God has not called you to just simply rebuild some physical building. God has called you into a much greater work. God has called you to labor in His vineyard. He has called you to build up the kingdom of God. God has called you to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to tell everyone that God has come in mercy and that He offers the forgiveness of sins to all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, so that all who believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God has sent you. his church, into the mighty harvest. God has sent you to offer life to all men. God has sent you to show them the way to everlasting glory with our Father in heaven. But before you say that the world is too opposed, before you say that the task is too great, before you say that we are too unfit, or even before you wonder how this work is even possible, Jesus makes the very same promise. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. You do not go into this work alone. Jesus says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Though the world persecutes you, Jesus says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Though the harvest is great and the workers are few, Jesus says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And though you feel unable to do it, Jesus says, I am with you always, to the end of the age. When you speak, God speaks through you. When you act, God acts through you. It is his work, not just yours. And God will never leave you or forsake you. So Christians, why should you hold back? God will stir up your hearts also to do this mighty work, and he will make it prosper, because he is with you always, to the end of the age. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has promised that our words are your words, and that those who hear us hear you, strengthen us for the work which you have called us to do, knowing that it will never return empty, because it is your work, even to the very end of the age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.